Okay. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Ready? Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we are so excited to spend some more time with the great Zandantara. Let's try that
take
again.
Two?
A little yeah, tongue
take
tie.
Two. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. All right. All right. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we are so excited to spend some more time with the great Don Zandantara.
Patrick, you recorded at Don's Inner Ear Studio once, right?
Yeah, that's right, Jim. And still, he showed up here today.
Yes. And speaking of that, Patrick, I have an invoice here for you. It's about 30 years past due. Where's that theme music when we need it?
Okay, it's day two of our live event here at Spaces.
Give it up, people.
Yes.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for spending the night. Coming back for those of
good.
You, you know, the commute wasn't too bad, right? Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't bad. Yeah. Don sang in his sleep, which was kind of weird, but I liked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't. Neighbors. Yeah. Stuff like that. Open windows right. tonight.
I mean, right. as we heard, he has a lovely voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. This is day two of the live event at Spaces. As I mentioned, we're in Chevy Chase, Maryland, a suburb, so it counts. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us these episodes is Don Zandantara.
Hi.
Don, as you know from hearing yesterday, is a runs Inner Ear Studio in D.C., started it at his home and then grew into a bigger space in an industrial area in Arlington, Virginia. Very cool space, and he was involved with production and recording of a lot of classic DC punk bands, yes. such as.
Well, one question I wanted to ask you
caught
Don.
Him off guard.
Yeah,
I just wanted to set this up and tell people, you know, the Fugazi and Minor Threat and Bad Brains and Q and IU and Scream and so
it goes
on and on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and Wingtip Slow.
Yeah.
One question I wanted to ask you, Don, jumping right into this. Do you remember anything about recording the noise / kid rock band Happy Flowers?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd love to hear what
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. No, where can I start?
One of the most unusual bands that you can
it
think
is.
Of.
Yeah. It is one of the most unusual bands.
Yeah.
Of course, half Japanese was around when we were playing and doing all that
A
stuff.
Great antecedent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the group called The Landlords came in to record.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think, a four-piece. I think it was a four-piece.
Yeah, kind of a conventional rock and roll
conventional
band.
Conventional rock and roll band.
Right.
A little punky, a little alternative.
Yeah.
They made an album, and it got no traction. they made an album, but it just, you know, it was good. It was a good album, well done. Once again, it was one of those things where it wasn't new. It was, you know, it was up to par with all the rest that came, you know, years beforehand.
Right.
And it just never took off.
Mm-hmm.
So the lead singer, John Beers, and the guitarist, Charlie, and I can't remember Charlie's last name. They decided, okay, this sucks. I mean, we are getting no response. We're putting out what we feel is our sweat and blood into this. Let's just go in the opposite direction. And so they wanted to do the Happy Flowers. And the Happy Flowers were I guess, avant-garde.
I would say that's probably right.
Yeah. The first album they did was stereo. It was recorded and mixed live.
Uh-huh.
And they had various instruments around that were mic'd. And they just walked around the room and played the various instruments and sung. Or talked into the things.
Right, or screamed.
Or screamed into the things. Yeah, and nobody knew what levels they were going to be, so they distorted at times or too low at times. And it was all live, so you couldn't adjust it afterwards. And they came out and put this out, and people loved it.
It went crazy. Eventually, they were on Homestead Records, which was unbelievable. Yeah,
they were as surprised as anybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
Because here's something that they're doing in a very cynical fashion, I guess, and just as sort of like a screw you to the music business, and the music business loves it.
they were such an interesting band. If I know Andy remembers them, and Brad, they wrote songs from the terrifying perspective of children. One of their songs was called "I Saw My Picture on a Milk Carton."
Bought some milk. Had pictures of abducted children. My picture was on the milk carton with all the rest of them. Why was my picture in the milk carton?
Another was they cleaned my cutout with a wire brush. It was like all those terrifying things about being a child, yet they did it in a crazy, electric, loud fashion.
Yeah.
And recorded it all in an ear, which just totally blows my mind. Yeah. Very anti sort of discord and everything. You know, it was just amazing. Yeah.
Well, the last one you mentioned, you cleaned my cutout with a wire brush. I gave them that idea because I was a couple years beforehand. I had many years beforehand. In high school, I had a little scooter, and a friend of mine wanted to take it for a spin. I said, "Well, I'm not so sure." So I got on the back, and he was driving the thing, and he let it fall down, and he really messed up his knee. And we both sort of messed ourselves up. He messed up himself more. So we went to the hospital in there, and they were cleaning him out, and he was hating it. They were cleaning out, they were scraping. Now, probably not with a wire brush, but but it was painful. And I was hearing him from the other room and said, "I'm going to go home and clean myself up. I can do this myself." So it they took that and ran with it. Any idea, something that came from their head, they would just do it. They would just do it.
And that's a really good, sort of visual audio description of their sound, cleaning an open wound out with a wire brush. Yeah. That was kind of Happy Flowers.
And right in the middle of recording this album, I don't want to break the humorous vibe here, but I get a call down in the studio. My mother died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Wow.
Yeah. So they, I blame them for it.
you brought the humor back.
I was doing things against nature here.
Well, I'm sure the Happy Flowers would appreciate that wherever they are. Maybe Charlie's like an accountant now. I know wasn't he studying like accounting or something? Economics, at UVA. So anyway, thank you, Don. That was a question I always had in my mind is how did Happy Flowers ever record those records at Inner Ear?
Very quickly.
sounds like it. Yeah.
So interesting that you got involved in the creative process there as a producer. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your involvement? How much do you get involved with the artists in terms of, actual songwriting or song structure, arrangements, any of that?
Right, any of that. I think, first of all, let's talk about what a producer does. People have sometimes strange ideas about producers where they, you know, everybody has a different idea of what they may do.
I think of Phil Spector. That's who I think of.
Yeah. You mean shooting out the speakers with a pistol, something like that. Yeah. And people too. First of all, a producer by definition is in charge and is responsible for producing that song or that record or that EP or whatever the collection is. He has to produce it. He has to produce it within their budget, and he has to produce it within the deadline. So it's a just like a, you know, a factory, a production manager. They have to produce it and come up with it in a certain amount of time for a certain amount of money. And whatever it takes to get the best results, that's what a producer does. So if it means, I've had some producers, there was one producer I know who basically just sat in the chair in the corner. You remember the corner chair, didn't say a word until the band was kind of in a quandary about something. And then he piped in and said, yeah, let's try this. Otherwise, nothing. Where they stay out of the way of the artistic process is just as important as chiming in. So a producer keeps the wheels greased all the time. You don't want to get into a some sort of rabbit hole that you go down. You have to get the product out. And it's, you know, in very simple business terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what a producer would normally do, whatever it takes. If it means giving them ideas, if it means arranging the songs, if it means, hey, you know, this song could use bagpipes or an accordion, you know, you do that. And, you know, and just anything it takes. If they, you know, if they need seltzer water, you know, he's responsible for making sure that they're happy. Because if they're happy, they play better.
Yeah. Speaking of the accordion.
Oh, please don't.
Well, I heard this story. I've heard you tell this story that had it not been for a certain performer you saw with a guitar, that your music career could have gone a whole different direction, right?
Right. I grew up in a very, very, very Polish community. We lived on St. Stanislaw Street.
This was in Rochester.
This was in Rochester.
Yeah.
And everybody on the street was Polish. There was a Polish church at the end of the block. It was totally Polish. And the big instrument for Polish music was the accordion. It isn't a lot of musics. You know, Polish isn't the only one. But when my mother wanted me to take music lessons, my parents did actually, the accordion was probably a logical choice. So we went, trotted down to the music store. And at the time, I was just lucky that Elvis Presley was coming on his own. And the guy at the music store said, well, we can give him accordion lessons or we can give him guitar lessons now. And, you know, the guitar is great, you know. Guitar is fantastic. You get the girls.
Yeah.
It's, you know, accordion, not so much.
You meet a lot of women with the accordion.
Although that's not necessarily true. I can tell you some stories about that, but we're going to pass that over.
It's a different podcast.
So, yeah. So I started out with a guitar. I had a plastic guitar, a full-size plastic guitar, a beginner guitar, and it was... And just like it sounds, it was kind of a terrible thing. But, you know, it started me off playing the guitar and plunking around and wasting my time instead of doing homework.
Was there a rock and roll moment in your life, Don, where you know, I people who listen to this podcast have heard me tell the story over and over again. When I was in the backseat of my mom's car and heard Ring of Fire and got so scared about love being burning and, like, never wanting to go near anyone. But... was there a moment like that for you where there was a song or just an experience that said, there's something about this music that speaks to me?
Yeah, there was. Strangely enough, we're moving way out of the punk territory.
No, that's good. That's fine.
I think it was Jimmy Dean who sang Deep Blue Sea. Was he?
Yeah.
Deep blue sea, will it see. Storms come and hear the wind blow free. Deep blue sea, where the deep blue sea. It was Willie what got drowned in the deep blue sea. Oh, Willie was the roving kind, so tall and passing fair. From Mandalay to Frisco Bay, they knew him everywhere. 10,000 women worshipped him, and it was said that he kissed everyone but cared for none. He loved the deep blue sea.
That song just seemed like a great song.
Really?
I just thought to myself, wow, somebody wrote a song like this. And, you know, I wonder if I could try my hand at it.
Huh.
And for the next few years, I continually wrote failures. but that song just sort of, sometimes things get your engine going. And that did for me at the time.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
A very evocative song, kind of spooky in some ways. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that deep voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've had this career in recording and production, but yet you've kept with music all this time. What keeps you going as a songwriter and performer?
Oh, the fabulous money and riches.
That's why we do podcasts. Yeah,
exactly. What got the bigger laugh here?
That's right.
once you deal with art, and that goes for visual or musical arts, it's hard to get it out of your system. I just love doing it, and you almost can't stop producing some. Much of it, we've picked some songs here. I pick through them all. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of them. You know, a lot of people have written a lot of songs. A lot of them are bad. They're just plain bad songs. And I should have brought a couple to show you, but it would be embarrassing almost. But you got to keep just pumping it out. You just got to keep pumping on it. Every once in a while, you hit on something. Hey, you know, maybe this will work. I may do it. And that gets you going, putting out more. And so I just keep doing it. I can't help doing it. Now, I got into performing because I think it was about 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, something like that. I can't remember exactly. I would perform with bands, but really not myself at all. And all of a sudden, I just felt like I need to know how they feel on stage. And so I just put myself up there. And it's revealing. It's very revealing. It's different than hearing someone else record a song. It's different than sitting in your bedroom playing to yourself. It's just different. And until you do that, you don't realize what musicians do. So it would seem like a natural evolution, I guess.
Were you scared that first time you played?
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I ever did like a solo thing, it was scary from the point of view of, you don't know if they're going to really like it.
Right.
You just don't know. So what I did was I played six songs end to end, didn't stop between them.
It's very classic Discord.
Yeah, well, it is, but they won't punk songs, but right. But it was more so that there'd be no reaction. I didn't want any reaction. I was scared of the reaction.
No time to let them react.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that is a scary moment, but I soon realized that it was a dumb thing to do. It was just very, very dumb. And I also just got into realizing that the stage actually can really amplify what you're trying to say. And that was a powerful vehicle for me. And if I had something to say, I could say it in my bedroom or I could say it on stage. And usually I say it both because there's something there that just stimulating. And also there's the audience, which really gets me going. I love people reacting to it because I could see, oh, this song's a bomb. You know, it ain't going to work. You know, put this away in the mm-hmm. shelf. And other songs will work. And they just, it's an exciting moment.
Do you still make your own guitar amps?
No, I don't. But I did originally.
So after you got that guitar and you took the lessons. And,
okay.
Right. Then you, that's what got you into electronics, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, there's, let me tell you a story there. Mm. When I got the guitar, I graduated from the plastic guitar to a small Martin. I think it was a D18, something like that. But remember, this is a time where electric guitars are starting to come in. So I decided I was going to put a pickup in my D18. So I would be screwing in stuff into the top and drilling holes into the side.
I put a car stereo in a similar way once.
Really? Anyway, I massacred that thing. And then eventually did get a guitar, but couldn't afford an amplifier. But I had tape recorders around the house all the time. So I had friends who taught me how to modify tape recorders so you could actually plug a guitar or a microphone into
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the first time I played in a small group was with two other guys. We had one tape recorder with about, I think, a 4-inch speaker for all three guitars. And it was a little crappy mixer. It was something that made in Japan, I think, one transistor mixer. And we were playing through that. No microphone stands. I cut a broomstick off and and we made circles of plywood for the bass and then put a hole through that. And then took the tape recorder mic that was used for a tape recording and put it on top of it somehow. I don't know how, because it really didn't have a big connector on there. And that's what we did. And it's the main thing is it's fun. And one thing that rock and roll is you can do it a number of different ways. And that goes for almost any music, too. Yeah. I shouldn't shrug off things like classical music at all or any of the other styles. Yeah. You could do that any way you want. And if you got something that is entertaining and people will listen to and like, hey, that works.
I also heard you say that you would go around collecting like stereos that people discarded and use that to make games too?
It was a great time for a lot of electronics. People were buying Magnavox stereos. Remember those big
consoles?
Spanish wood and all that stuff. You know, they had a bunch of speakers. Well, eventually they died. You know, they punked out. And so either the speakers got blown out or the amps blown out. If they put them out in the garbage.
Yeah.
If the speakers blew out, we would take the amplifiers and use them. If the amplifiers burned out, we'd take this whole speaker cabinet and use that.
Right.
And we'd use that eventually to play. And we'd put the good amps in there and, you know, find a way. I'd get my friends to show me, hey, where can we plug our guitars in, you know, with this cheap Japanese mixer? And we'd play through that stuff. But anything to get it going. Some of them look terrible. I wish I had pictures. Why didn't we have cell phones back
right,
then?
Right, I know. Yeah, Thursday was trash night. That's when we got the new gear.
So. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. That was really it.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think we're good.
We're good for this episode?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, we're going to hear more of Don playing, right?
Yeah,
we're gonna
that's
play a couple
right.
more songs for us mm-hmm. here? Yeah, is that good? All right, well, while you're setting up, we have to do our promo.
We got
for the
a promo
show.
Here, yep.
This one we need some help. We need volunteers.
That's right. I'm calling on Nathan Dubuque to come up for this one because he's got a good voice.
Nathan, come on.
Come front center, Nathan.
How about Nathan and Andy?
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, let's
there
do it.
There we go. Andy will come too.
The Dubuque family, folks. Half of it, anyway. This is half of the Dubuque family.
All right, I got some lines for you. I got some lines. Yeah, you can sit here.
Yeah,
one of you.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to play a kid, so it shouldn't be too hard.
Hey, what's that stuff on your phone?
Some podcast called Rockin' the Suburbs. It's supposed to be super cool.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it?
No, I'm not going to try it.
Let's get George.
Yeah.
He won't listen to it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, George.
When you share Rock in the Suburbs with someone, don't tell them it's a super cool podcast. You're the only one who has to know. Thank you to our kids.
Absolutely.
Child actors.
Yes. Thank you to Bukes.
They work cheap that way when they're children.
That's right.
Do you guys have a drama department?
No, we're working on one.
All right. Okay, so now we got that out of our system.
Yes, we did.
We're going to hear some beautiful music here from Don.
More Don Z.
Don, what are you going to play for us now?
I'm going to play You Come and Tell Me. I think this was on some record, too. A few of these were. This is quite an old one. You come and tell me that there is no reason. The reason's clearly stated by your life. It runs as if through patterns gone in seasons. I've got time, you know we've got time. The times I held my ears and looked for answers, it wasn't that the truth was hard to take, but worn out words that traveled in between us was our mistake, my mistake. Wasted time discussing time we wasted. Yet I can't remember ever sitting still. And it hurts to understand and feel ourselves now. But I will. Yes, I will. You come and lie beside me without purpose, saying that you thought you heard me cry, and monologue on how we must be strong now. That's a lie. That's a lie. So I stuffed my head into a pillow, trying hard to keep quiet house, understanding slowly joy of living, knowing how and knowing how. Oh, you come and tell me that we have to talk more. Can't you understand that's just a lie? Watch my mouth and speak when mine's not moving. You see, I've got eyes. I've got eyes. The static line exists, you say it doesn't. Dangling me and twisting in the air. It's not that there's no love that's come between us. I care. Yes, I care. Oh, you come and tell me that there is no answer. But I'm sick of being told it's no concern of mine. And smiled at amid the great disaster. It's my time. It's my time. Come and tell me.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. That's great. You do another one for us here?
Sure.
All right. While you're doing that, we'll just why don't we do our closing business
yeah,
now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Set up mm-hmm. and he can play us out.
Okay.
We're going to come back tomorrow
yes.
with more from Don.
That's right.
You folks can go home and freshen up. We really need that, I think. We want to do that before you come back. But
don't they have a shower here?
Yeah, I think so.
They might.
They must.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They must.
There are bikes available if anybody needs a ride.
There must be a shower. Possibly soap.
Please listen tomorrow and listen.
Every day.
Every day.
Boop. Every day.
Supposed to cue them.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry, folks.
Where's the theme music?
Yeah.
So we, if people want to correspond with us, they can call and leave a message. We call it the Suburban Party Line.
Yeah.
And we have a jingle for it. So
we do.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
There's the jingle.
Yes. Fantastic.
For all that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's me on the keys.
That's right.
Yeah. But not my singing. No. That's somebody else. Somebody
it's beautiful. How'd you come up with the melody?
I think I ripped it off from some other commercial jingle. That's probably what some appliance
store, or something
like that. That's right.
Yes. Something from my youth, I'm sure. So anyway, but the jingle doesn't have the phone number.
That's right. for a jingle, for a party line without the phone number, that's one of the key problems.
So the number is 612-440. 1984.
Thank you, folks.
1984, of course. Call back. Also, you can find us on the social medias, all those at Suburbs Pod, and please support our Patreon, where you can get cool stuff with a little donation. That's patreon.com/suburbspod.
Yep.
And and thank you to Spaces, and thank you to Alex
yes.
Dallas.
So
and
Alex.
Thanks to Graydon, who's running the board
Graydon
here.
Thanks, Graydon, for doing the engineering for us. Sounds fantastic in this room, folks. Really does.
The equipment.
Yes.
From Chuck Levins, right. So we got all that, right? And one other quick thing here, too. Alex and Don do a radio show together. And what is that show?
The show is called Stagecraft. And it's on WERA every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And that's 96.7, if I have my numbers correct.
Yep.
And people can get that online, too, by going to
Mixcloud.com.
Mm-hmm. Check that
slash
out.
Slash Stagecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I do have a question about that tomorrow. So.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
A little foreshadowing.
Don is contractually obligated to show up again.
That's right.
Although his lawyers are trying to find a way out.
Yeah, there are some people queuing at the door.
Okay. So what are we going to play out with here, Don?
We're going to play out with Junior Heartbreaker. It was one of the songs on one of the record we're on. This is a song that was done early on, too, in college years and stuff like that. Which means about 80 or 90 years ago.
All right, Don Santara.
She's a junior heartbreaker. She's a sublet Madonna. The value of miscues lies in her smile. From the shores of Vancouver to North Carolina. But the incense of interest burn brightly a while. She's a lover of words, she's a singer of songs. Her music's the wind that circles my head. And if you play it out, she'll sing right along. From the foothills of Maine, clown for the devil, and the devil he nods. Says that she's free, but we know that's a lie. With chains that restrain her, securely are fastened. She claims she can move, but she never has tried. She's the river of Hudson, highways of Troy, invisible grasslands and retraceable face. She's the picture of anger in the season of joy. She's out of her time and she's out of her place. She's a junior heartbreaker, she's a sublet Madonna. With the value of miscues lying in her smile. lights of interest burn brightly wide.
Thank Beautiful you. Stuff. Thank you, Don.
Fantastic. Thank you.
No, I'm not going to try it.